Many years ago, I was the executive pastor at an Assemblies of God church in this area, and our church was where they sent youth pastors to die. We would come and we would test their call into ministry and then eject them from the ministry. One guy came and survived, and he came just as I was leaving. And as soon as I left, then he and his wife did not only youth, but also worship and a number of other things like so often happens in churches. And they've gone on to have really a long, beautiful career serving multiple churches. And we've been trying to get Bernie and Sarah here for a long, long time. We, of course, are interrupting this series we've been doing on basic training, which I ordinarily wouldn't do, but literally we've planned this a number of times and stuff gets in the way. And so when they said they had this week, and I was like, yes, I don't care what else is happening. But on Mother's Day, I don't care. Series, I don't care. Just come. And so so we got them here, and these guys are such a blessing. They're going to do a song for us, and then they're going to be teaching as well. And I'll tell you this. So, you know, whenever I am working with young people who aspire to be worship leaders or worship musicians, this is what I tell them. The best thing you can do is just be a worshiper. It is amazing to me how often I see, and I know you see this all the time, these worship musicians that the only time they touch their instrument is on Sunday morning and if there's a practice during the week. And you know, because when they leave, their instrument stays on the platform, their music is untouched. And the most important feature you can have as a worship musician is that you are a worshiper.
That's good.
That in your life, worship is part of your life. And that's what I love so much about this family, because if you are friends with any of them on Facebook, what you'll see is, as a family, worship is just part of their DNA. They just worship as a family all the time. And so what you're seeing this morning is not a performance. We're just getting a peek into what is part of their life anyway, and that's such a beautiful quality. And so their ministry, both in music and in the Word this morning, is an overflow of who these folks are. I would never, ever put someone in front of you that didn't have my wholehearted personal endorsement. And if you would listen to me, listen to them. These folks have an incredible track record, incredible hearts for the Lord. Tapestry, would you please welcome Bernie and Sarah Gelott?
This morning, we have the awesome opportunity to be here and share our hearts with you, and we are so humbled by the opportunity, the way you all have accepted us and just thrown the doors wide open, you know, and you already know who we are, and we're so honored that Pastor Gary and Jennifer have given us this wide open door to just do as we see God offered us to do. And so, and especially like on a Mother's Day, you know, this is a big day. And for us, I'm going to go ahead and unplug that so I don't pull that over. Thanks, babe. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be here and to share our hearts with you. And, you know, as we were thinking about this morning.
Yeah, we were thinking about Mother's Day, and we were kind of double like, okay, two things. We need to you know, really talk about our teaching, and then we were like, oh, it's Mother's Day. We should brainstorm what to get our own moms for Mother's Day, right? And so we started thinking about that, and you know, the topic of infomercials came up. Anyone ever watch infomercials? Okay, so I, you know, because we were talking about Mother's Day, and he was like, oh, dear, what do you want, and all stuff. I'm not a stuff person. I am a gifts for me. I like them to be practical, functional, consumable would be best. Then I don't have to figure out where to store it. I use it up and it's gone, right? So that's what I like for gifts. That's been very hard for Bernie over the last 20 years because he believes the polar opposite about gifts.
Come
they
on.
Should not be.
Do I have any gift givers out there that okay, do not so, want socks?
So, you know, come that's. I like getting nice socks. Anyway. But that made us start to think, because we've laughed about infomercials through the years, because my husband loves infomercials. And
true story.
If one is on, he will get, it's like a tractor beam that pulls him in. And we would laugh about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, lo and behold, our middle child, also named Bernie, As a little kid, we would walk by, and if an infomercial was on, he was mesmerized. So there's the nature versus nurture argument, right? Apparently, infomercials, that is nature, not nurture, that he loved those. But we say, you know, what is the point? What do infomercials, where does the power of an infomercial come from, right?
The testimony,
right? You didn't even know you had this need. Until you saw an infomercial.
You didn't even know that problem needed to be solved.
Right. I didn't know.
But all of a sudden, here's the solution.
I didn't know I needed a piece of tape that could repair both a screen door and my refrigerator.
And you could make your screen door into a boat.
I could do all.
Right. You're welcome.
I didn't even know that I had this issue. But an infomercial tells me, here's what your problem is, and we can solve it. And it's always the testimonials, right? You watch the person who they're struggling. And sometimes, you know, there's a funny video we watch with our kids that how ridiculous some of the things are. Like, they couldn't open a bottle, really? Like, we couldn't do, you know, but the things they were struggling, and then all of a sudden they could do it, and then of course they hit you with the
but wait, there's more.
So there's this power in the testimonial in the infomercial, right?
So you may say, so how do infomercials connect to the morning's teaching? Well, I'm so glad you asked. The power of the infomercial, the testimony. When you see someone say, I had this problem and now I don't, and I used it and it made my life better. I'll give you a great example. How many parents have a child who plays baseball, right? Or a child who plays a sport where their clothes get dirty? There's like a support group for all of those moms that are sitting on the sideline, and they're like, how do you get the grass stains out of those white baseball pants, right? You know, we're getting Sarah a shirt for Mother's Day this year, and it says, Moms Against White Baseball Pants. Can I get a witness, right? So, but the power is in the testimony. So you're saying, well, I did this. I mean, I've done everything from pressure washing the baseball pants on the driveway with my pressure. We've tried a lot. We're still not settled, but we've got a system. At any rate, what I want you to hear is that testimony should be the same about our faith. Think about that. What if we shared our faith like that testimony about how you can get those pants clean? Or there's how you make a boat out of your screen door. You know, those things. What if we shared our testimony like that? See, there's incredible power in our testimony. And if you forget everything we said this morning, because we're going to probably cut our teaching a little bit short because God had other plans, and I'm 100% on board with that. But if you remember nothing else other than this, please remember this. The big idea is our testimony is meant to be treasured, shared, and constantly growing. Our testimony is meant to be treasured, shared, and constantly growing. Our main text is found in 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. I'm going to read from the New Living this morning. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live, because you belong to Christ.
And often when we teach, we use New Living Translation, but also, do you have verses that you memorized when you were younger in a different version? So I originally grew up with the NIV, and so I went back and I like to kind of compare the differences, and it stood out to me in the NIV when he says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, and here's the little difference, asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I thought it was interesting that Peter's saying, be ready not just to say, yes, I have hope, but be ready to give a reason for it. And that reason is our testimony. That's what we have. And then I looked also, the word hope is what jumps out, right? The reason for the hope that we have. And in the Greek, that word hope, it's pronounced elpis, even though it's not really peace, but that's how it's pronounced in the Greek, elpis. And here's what that word hope means: expectation, trust, confidence, an expectation of what is sure or certain. So put it back in the verse. Here's what Peter's saying. Always be prepared to give a reason for the trust and confidence that you have. That's what our testimony is. It's sharing with others. This is my reason that I can have confidence and trust in God.
And the reality is that the world is so short on hope Hope, confidence in what we know to be true about the goodness of God should be one of our greatest calling cards as believers. This is what the world will notice and be drawn to. And I feel like often, sometimes, we walk around as Christians defeated instead of as more than conquerors. We walk around as victims instead of victors. And God designed us for that. And that's our testimony that gives a signpost pointing towards God and his hope, an encouragement, a confidence that we can walk in because of the hope he provides.
So that's what we talk about. We want to talk about this morning, our testimony, and encourage you looking at your testimony too. And so our this big idea that we're talking about that we want you
I know the light.
I'm so just afraid it's going to... I'm very clumsy. I'm going to touch it, and it's just going to come down at me.
No, we're good.
Our testimony is meant to be treasured, shared, and constantly growing. So if we want to follow Peter's instructions, always be prepared to give a reason, then what does that look like? How do we prepare ourselves to be ready to answer that question?
And I'm so glad you asked.
Yes, there's more. So we want to share just two aspects. And, you know, I grew up in church, and I didn't know, like, can you do a sermon with less than 3 points? Because I thought the Bible says somewhere you need three or more, obviously.
The third one is just do it.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Now I can
problem
go on
solved.
Because we have 3 points then. The third is just do it, and there's no other context to it. So, but we really just have two aspects and two things that we want to share about our testimony. When we say our testimony is our reason for the hope we have, there's kind of two aspects, almost two sides to the coin. One is our testimony is the timeless testimony of truth. That's the universal testimony that we all have about the truth of who God is, the gospel, his grace, his love for us. And then we're going to talk secondly about our personal testimony, okay? But those are our two aspects. So one, our testimony is the timeless testimony of truth. And I was looking through the book of Acts, and Paul, every time he goes to a different place, everywhere he goes, every group of people, he's sharing the truth of the gospel. And if you read through Acts, sometimes it's long. Like, so he's got this long expository thing that he goes through the whole Jewish history before he even gets to Jesus, right? So that can be a little overwhelming and daunting. Like, when we say, knowing the timeless testimony of truth, do I have to have a note in my phone where I've got, like, 5 points that give all
for
the
sure.
proof texts and the Greek and the expository? And or like, do I have to know all of that? And really, the simple answer is no. No, telling the timeless testimony of truth doesn't mean that we have to have a long answer. Now, should our understanding of faith be growing and always developing? Yeah, we should be developing deeper roots where we can explain things more. But when it comes to understanding how to share, honestly, what people need is the simple truth that there's hope in Jesus. So don't get overwhelmed when we say your testimony is that timeless testimony of truth, because it doesn't have to be using big churchy words. That doesn't even help most of the time. What people are looking for is hope. And the message that there's hope in Jesus is actually really simple.
You know, I think of a show that I used to watch a while back, and one of the main characters in the show was struggling with fiscal and financial responsibility. And so they're trying to grasp the reality and the truth of this. And while he's doing that, the person is talking way over his head. And eventually, he looks at the person and is like, explain it to me like I'm a six-year-old. Like, can you put it in those terms, right? And I think sometimes we spend so much time pontificating about the importance of the exaggeration and the exhortation and all of the Asians that could be there. And people are like, well, it happened to my brother. His son was with him, and he had asked him this question. And anybody that knows my brother, he can talk for hours about just about anything. He's brilliant. And so his son says, so, well, talk to me about the dad. I don't understand why the clouds are like that. And my brother just...
Bill Nye, the science guy.
And there comes a point where his son looks at him, Dad, are you talking to me? Like, sometimes we can be like that when we're sharing our testimony. And what they really need to know is hope. Love, trust, and it's really a simple message if you look at Romans 10. Romans 10 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Some translations say disappointed. I love that. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them unless they've been sent? And that is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Look back at that one more time. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
And that's it, isn't it? Isn't that the simple truth that we're talking about? So if we're saying, you know, Peter tells us be prepared. So we say, okay, what does it look like to be prepared? Can I give you just like three little, this is what I would say, if you were looking for how do I share that timeless testimony of truth in a simple way?
It's good.
I would break it down to three things. Just this. God loves us more than we can imagine. God has always had a plan, and it involves redemption and restoration, and the God of the universe is still holding our hands if we let him. That's it. That's the story of the story of the Bible. That's all. That's the story of the timeless testimony of truth that we have. Don't worry about getting bogged down in all of the rest of it, because most of the time people are crying out for, can you just meet me where I am? And this is what meets people where they are. God loves us more than we can imagine. He has a plan, and it's for restoration and redemption, and he is still with us if we will accept him. And that's it.
And they just need to know he loves them. Well, sometimes I think we find ourselves trying to clean our fish before we catch them. Let's clean them up first, and then, no, there's no qualifications. In fact, I think one of the stumbling blocks for us can be the idea that I need to deliver a message of hope that brings them to the point of decision right now. That's not in the Bible. In fact, Paul clearly says it's for some to plant seeds and some to water, but God brings the increase. So take the pressure off. You don't have to be pressurized. Can I deliver the perfect message and bring to the point of decision? No. My job is to deliver hope and love like God loves, unconditional, unending.
And we get asked the question a lot, you know, especially in student ministry and working with teenagers. They're like, what if they ask a question and I don't have the answer to? And I tell them all the time, don't minimize the power of this answer. That's a great question. I don't know. Can I talk to my pastor about it and get back to you? Because that's a really great question. Because people just want our genuine responses anyway, right? So you don't need to feel like, what if they ask a question? I don't know. I'm going to have to like quick make up or Google it when they're not looking, run to the bathroom. I don't, you know, no, you can say like, it's okay to say, that's a great question. You know, because again, then it's validating that they have questions, and that's okay. Because how many of you know Jesus was never afraid of questions? Right? That's what we see all through the Gospels, people coming with their questions. So that's okay too.
So the big idea, our testimony is meant to be treasured, shared, and constantly growing. And we talked about the timeless testimony of truth. But wait, there's more. Our personal...
I think he's going to say that all day. Like, we're going to just be driving. We'll probably come out of tunnel traffic, and then all of a sudden he'll be like,
but wait, there's more.
There's more.
Traffic. The second thing we want to talk about is our personal testimony of triumph. See, often our testimony, it flows out of our trials. I mean, you watch the movies, right? We watch shows. If there was no antagonist, there'd be no victory. But sometimes we are so focused on trying to get trouble-free transit to the New Jerusalem that we don't realize that in the valley is where the vegetation grows. When you get to the summit of the mountain, it's not flush with vegetation. No, the growth happens in those trying times. I had a lead pastor one time that said, "Your misery is your ministry." See, often it's in the areas that we have experienced hurt, yet we can share that comfort that God gave us in those moments, because we can look at them and say, I've been there. Because there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. When I can say I've been where you are and God has brought me through, there's something powerful about that testimony. Powerful about the way that can change everything. And it gives me a better opportunity to minister to others. And sometimes it's the testimony of God's hand when it hurts that speaks louder than the stories of, I'm doing great right now. Because it's easy. The response for them is, well, that's easy for you to say. You got everything you need.
Yeah. Our personal testimony, it does. It comes out of our trials and our triumphs. And it has similarities and differences from other people, right? Like he was saying, if you can empathize with them. And God really showed this to me back in 2010, at least up to that point. It was the most difficult year we had had. It started January, like my little segue.
Get ready. Buckle up.
January 4th, it started with a house fire. So we had a house fire. We were displaced. We were living in Ohio at the time. We were displaced for 5 months. During that time, we had multiple close family members pass away unexpectedly. We had close friends who were going through very personal, very traumatic situations, and they were calling us, talking to us about it. I was pregnant with our youngest at the time and having some complications with the pregnancy that I felt like I was in and out of the doctor all the time and all these things. And it was just one thing after another. And I remember realizing two things. One, I don't know how people navigate trials without the hope of Jesus, without that foundation. And it also, God gave me kind of a life passage that I have because I realized certain things you don't understand until you've been through them. And I don't say that to be insensitive. I say that to be sensitive to those who have gone through things like a house fire. I never would have known. There are triggers that happen after that and things that you experience that you realize, wow, you really don't understand what it's like until you've been through it. And we experienced it at a relatively small level. I mean, no one was injured, that type of thing. We were able to get insurance, was able to get everything back together. But I realized I was able to connect with people who had experienced some of those similar things. And the passage that the Holy Spirit brought to me that I always come back to now is 2 Corinthians 1:4-7. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they're troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. So those things that we face, our similarities, God will bring people across our paths who need to hear that part of our testimony because they're walking through something too that you only really understand if you've been through it.
So our testimony, it flows out of our trials and triumphs. Our testimony has similarities and differences from people around us, and our testimony is always expanding. See, God works on our behalf on a daily basis. It does our spiritual walk good to stop and regularly reflect on what God's doing and what God's done. Because when we cultivate that heart of gratitude, we are far more prepared to receive what he has for us, and we have a far better perspective on what's actually going on in our lives. And it encourages our faith and helps us to recognize God's hand more readily. Think about it like this. How many times have you heard, you remember 75% more of what you write? So you could hear Pastor Gary drop knowledge, drop knowledge, drop knowledge, but when you write that down one time, you're 75% more likely to remember it. It's the same way in our walk with God. Why don't we take the time to dwell on his goodness, to dwell on his faithfulness, to remember the ways he's given us hope? You know, I was working on my car on Friday, and I expected I was going to have to put 4 new brakes on my car. Well, we didn't have to. We just cleaned them, and we're good to go. I need to recognize that's God's faithfulness. My brakes not wearing out as fast as they should. That's God. And when I celebrate that and focus on that, now I'm not living with a defeated attitude. I'm living victorious. I'm more than a conqueror.
We did an activity at the end of the school year last year with our students and said, you know, we could ask them at the beginning, how many of you ever feel like you've experienced a miracle? Or how many of you feel like you've heard from God? And a lot of teenagers are like, well, no, that's, you know, older people or whatever. And so then we stopped and we just gave them some time to reflect. And we asked some questions like, what's one thing at the beginning of the school year that you thought, I'm never going to be able to get through that? Did you get through it? There's a miracle. There's something God did for you. And you know what? Had you thought of that before you came in here? No, because you know why? God just spoke that to you. And so we start to teach and model that. And I think that as parents, too, we were talking about this. Like, when God does something now, as parents, we need to share it with our kids. And so we've had experiences where God does things miraculously in our finances, where he just blesses us in a way that it was just a miracle. And we've shared it with our kids along the way. The trip that I mentioned earlier in the service, we were asked in September to go to Africa in December while airline prices were soaring, and the trip was going to be $15,000. And we knew God was calling us to go, but we did not have $15,000. And so we started, we said, and they all agree, we're like, we know this is what God's called us to do. And so we said, God, we'll do what we can do, and we'll trust that you'll do the rest. And we watched his provision. And so we've shared that with our kids. And now our kids have a testimony. And when they share that, the person they're talking to has a testimony that they know of. Because our testimony is a gift that we need to share with others. And David says it this way in Psalm 37, 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the ones who delight in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young. How many of you have ever heard this verse? I was young, but now I am old. I feel that way like at the end of a lot of days. I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. But here's the cool thing. What David shares next is actually a testimony that David says, as I was faithful, God continued to be faithful, because he says, they, the righteous, are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. So the testimony, we usually just focus on, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. But his testimony goes beyond that. I was faithful to God. God was faithful, and he made my children a blessing to others. And that happens as we continue to say, God, show me every day how my testimony is growing. Because people might not want to hear what happened 20 years ago, but if I tell them what happened 2 weeks ago, it can be powerful for them.
And so, bringing it back around to the important thing, the infomercial. No, I'm just kidding. But think about it. Have you ever met someone who used one of those things that they bought on the infomercial? Sometimes it really is life-changing. It really is. There are some of those things. I mean, how many of you have the Ninja blender and your world has changed?
You can buy them on Trash and Treasure.
I'm not going to go down the list of all of the ones that I support, because we could. But here's what I want you to hear. There's nothing more effective than meeting someone who has experienced it. You know, I like to say it this way. A person with an experience is seldom subject to a person with an argument. When you've experienced God's goodness and God's faithfulness and God's love and God's hope, you can't talk me out of it. You can't tell me it isn't real. And that's what we have. In fact, I would propose to you that we have the greatest message in the world to share. A message of hope, a message of peace, a message of acceptance, a message of love. And that's what we have the opportunity to share. It should be the thing that we wear on our shirt sleeves. It should be our defining feature. The best thing in the world is waiting to happen to your friends. The life-changing experience of knowing God is what's waiting for your friends. And sometimes I don't share it because I'm worried they might think less of me. What about the fact that their life is less? What about the fact that they don't have the anchor of hope and faithfulness and love and trust that comes from relationship with God? And now we continue. Instead, let's build that testimony. Let's let it be our defining feature. I think you're right.
Oh, happy Mother's Day to me.
Actually, I know you're right. We like to end with questions for reflection, because what I don't want you to do is hear some stuff and say, man, that Sarah is brilliant. Like, wow. And then do nothing with it. Because if we come here and leave the same way we entered, I believe we're missing out on some of what God has for us. So the first question, and I just can't have a service without asking. But I'm going to go ahead and give you your privacy. So if you just close your eyes, bow your heads, just between you and me and God. Is there somebody in this room right now that you would say, I don't know that message of hope that you just talked about, Bern? Like, it sounds cool, sounds fun, but I mean, I know Jesus is real, but I don't know that message of hope firsthand. Well, if you want to know it, we already talked about how simple it is to receive. You just have to call on the name of the Lord. And if this morning that's where you are, you want to make that your own, just wave at me for a second, because I want to pray for you. I want you to know that you're not alone in this journey, and as we walk this road, he's faithful to give us all that we need if we'll rely on him. In fact, his word says his grace is sufficient for us because his power is made perfect in weakness. How many know that's the opposite of what the world says? They say you got to be strong. You got to be perfect. You got to never make mistakes. But God says to us, your imperfection is perfect for me. So if that's you, I just want to pray with you real fast. I'm not going to call you to the front, but you want to know that hope firsthand. You want to walk in it. Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. So then I have three quick questions for you that I want you to consider. When was the last time you took a few moments and updated your testimony? So that you can always be ready. It's never too late. It's never too late to reassess God's faithfulness and celebrate it again. I love the verse in Lamentations that says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. His faithfulness is just like that. You can lean on him. When is the last time you asked God to bring people across your path so that you could share that testimony you've just revisited? God's timing is perfect. And I would propose to you, sometimes I miss a divine appointment that he had for me because I was in my feelings or I was anchored to the wrong thing. This morning, I want to challenge you to ask God to bring people across your path to whom you can be a light and bring hope and peace. Last question. When is the last time you offered your testimony as an offering back to God? Because that's what he wants to use. You're his plan to save and make a difference and plant seeds in your sphere of influence. So I like to respond and leave with a bounce. So we've had these questions, but how do we respond to that? We respond to that by dwelling on his faithfulness.